Something haunting, something sombre, but also something to celebrate. It's about human life, dignity, survival, and surviving the greatest evil, I think, certainly of the 20th century, maybe in human history. Because today is Holocaust Memorial Day. It's also the 71st anniversary of the liberation of Auschwitz. Survivors are intending a commemoration at Guildhall in London, where the stories of people who were there will be heard alongside music and poetry. A time for reflection, a time for thanksgiving, and a time to remember. At the end of World War II, of course, the British government brought over 700 orphans who'd survived the concentration camps, and Camden's Jewish Museum has a display of quilts made by their children and grandchildren to remember their liberation. Abigail Morris is the director of that museum, and I'm delighted to welcome her to BBC Radio London. Good morning, Abigail. Good morning, Abigail.
Good morning.
Now, how important is it that we remember what happened in Auschwitz 71 years ago today, and before then, of course?
Well, it's absolutely critical, isn't it? I mean, the horrors of what went on in the Second World War, you know, 6 million Jews killed, as well as obviously countless other people. But, you know, over a million children were murdered in the death camps. It's quite unbelievable. But what we've got in the museum is something that is very life-affirming, actually. We've got these incredible quilts stitched by the survivors, by their families, and some by themselves, some of the survivors themselves, not just their families. And they're just beautiful. They're really colourful. They're really funny, and they're a real testament to kind of the human spirit.
And the remarkable thing is, it's almost an accident of fate, of history, that those quilts are there to be seen, because those people, the orphans, could just as easily have died as have survived.
Absolutely. And when you hear the stories, each one is so... there's a hairbreadth, there's a tiny decision which why somebody survived and the rest of their family and the rest of their friends and the rest of their village, whatever, perished. It is so random, and yet what's so wonderful is what they've made of their lives and how proud they are of their families, of the fact that they've produced children, of the fact they've put those horrors behind them and made really good lives for themselves.
In fact, there's a tiny epigraph at the start of Schindler's Ark, the book that was turned into Schindler's List, the book by Thomas Kennedy, and he quotes, I think it's a Jewish saying, that he who saves a human life saves the whole world.
Yeah.
And that is something so kind of sobering when you think about it, the kind of the possibilities that were ended because of the evil of the Nazis and the German people who colluded with that regime, the possibilities that were ended, but by the same token, that kind of flickering light of hope, the people who did manage to survive that unspeakable ordeal.
Yeah, absolutely. And at the same time, we've got a temporary exhibition, which has got incredible reviews. You might have heard of it, called Blood, which is about how blood unites and divides us. And part of that exhibition looks at the Nazi atrocities and the blood, how they saw Jewish blood as being tainted as a reason to murder people. And we actually have a copy of the actual Nuremberg laws themselves, the ones where you looked at and you saw how much blood, you know, there's a chart to see whether you would live or whether you would die.
Yeah. And in fact, it's one of those very disturbing things. I mean, beyond disturbing, when you look back at that and you think, well, actually, I mean, last year I reread Martin Gilbert's astonishing book called The Holocaust. Yeah. And in that, there's a photograph of a Jewish child, looks to be 5 or 6, murdered by a Polish farmer in 1946, which is the year after the war ended. So anti-Semitism and that hatred, kind of unthinking, blind hatred, was with us long before the Nazis and is still with us, tragically, today.
Yeah, well, absolutely, and that's another reason why it's so important for the museum to be itself a place where people can learn tolerance. And we have about 20,000 kids a year who come and do all sorts of programs, not just about the Holocaust, but we're very much about living Judaism, that we're so lucky in this country, that this country is a place of tolerance, and that we want to keep that the way it is. I mean, obviously, the events, you know, Charlie Hebdo, where the... you know, there was a Jewish synagogue attacked. Obviously, Brussels, there was a Jewish museum attacked. And it's so important that we teach that message of tolerance, we introduce people to Judaism, and we build those bridges. And these quilts and the exhibition about blood and our permanent exhibition are a wonderful way of doing that.
In fact, I don't know if you've seen it, and I don't wish to trivialise our conversation in any way, but a channel called Amazon Prime at the moment has adapted a science fiction novel by a man called Philip K. Dick, who wrote the originals for things like Blade Runner. It's called The Man in the High Castle, and it's about an alternative future where, God forbid, the Nazis and the Japanese regime have won the Second World War, and they've conquered America, and they divide it in half. And it's set in the 1960s, and one of the things I noticed, they don't refer to it, but it's set in the 1960s, and there's one bit when you see a couple of children wearing kind of leg irons who've got polio, And that's, of course, because when the Nazis took over this American alternate vision, they exterminated the Salk family who fled Europe. Jonas Salk developed the polio vaccine. Without that one Jewish contribution, millions of children would still be living with that crippling ailment. And it's that kind of fact, again, about the difference a single life can make, which we should all possibly consider on a day like this.
Well, absolutely. I mean, in this country, we wouldn't, the Paralympic Games were invented by Ludwig Gutmann, who was a German Jewish refugee who set them up in this country in 1948, who had these wounded soldiers, and he said, come on, let's get up, let's get them moving. And obviously, we have an amazing Paralympic movement.
Absolutely. In fact, there's a rather fine TV drama on the BBC about that, starring Rob Brydon, who's involved in it.
Fantastic. And you sort of think it's sort of ironic. There was Hitler trying to exterminate not just Jews, but disabled people. And because of that, Ludwig Gutmann fled to this country, and absolutely we have this fantastic Paralympic Games. And actually in the Blood exhibition, just one of the things we talk about is the fact that when the different blood groups were discovered, it enabled blood transfusions, successful blood transfusions to take place for the first time. And that was Landsteiner, who was a Jewish scientist. And that in itself, successful blood transfusion, has saved millions and millions of people's lives.
Thank you very much for your time this morning on this very special day. Indeed, Abigail Morris, the director of the Jewish Museum in London, in Camden, in fact. If you've not been along, it's an absolutely fascinating, very moving, and as you've heard from Abigail, also amusing place. And those quilts do sound fantastic. I'm going to get along there as soon as I can. I have seen the Blood exhibition, in fact, already, and that too, Temporary exhibition, is absolutely remarkable. It's BBC Radio London. It's now 24 minutes past six. Here